This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 16th, episode 1521. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World!
Hey, Horse World! It's Friday!
When I get off of work on Friday,
everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning!
So let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll.
Greetings all. The Hit 'em crew is out recharging their batteries this week, so sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece from the Hit 'em Audio Vault. Featuring an in-studio guest with no idea what she's gotten herself into.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. We appreciate you being here. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
We have a guest in the studio today. We're gonna have several guests in the studio over the next couple of weeks. We're excited about that. But I have a fellow podcaster from the Florida Podcasters Association joining
now,
us today.
Now, you told me that she was funny. And then I start reading that she, she does a show about Medicare. That,
yes.
Those two things don't go together.
Oh, that I think when Diane does it, they do. Diane Daniels from the Medicare Nation podcast. Hi, Diane.
What's going on, Glenn? Jamie, I can be funny.
She can.
I really can. I swear.
Yeah,
I mean, you think about Medicare and you don't think, gosh, that's a funny topic.
But then you've got to have somebody funny talking about Medicare to make it any interesting at all, right? I mean...
It has to be funny, Jamie, because otherwise it's just boring.
Very boring. Well, Diane, welcome to the show. Diane did a, she actually did the closing presentation at PodFest when we were there and had everybody in stitches. She's not afraid to get crazy on stage, that's for sure. So thank you for stopping
by. Now, Diane, what got you started with Medicare?
I got started with Medicare because I hate insurance.
Okay.
I mean, who the heck likes insurance, Jamie? Nobody. Because you only need insurance when you need it, right?
Yeah.
They just suck all your money away from you. So I was in the insurance field for about 8 years. And I was just so tired of when people asked me what I did. And I said, hey, I'm an insurance agent. And they'd run. So, you know, you get a complex selling insurance. And
well,
then,
from a long line of insurance agents, I really
her
feel
dad
like
is too.
My dad and my brother
dad.
And my
I was
uncles.
Too.
Oh, well, I just feel like that Southern twang that you have probably scares everybody off.
It really, really does. Okay, that helps
from
a lot.
Tennessee, actually,
from the heart of Tennessee. So, with the Medicare, I was sitting in a room in a call center, and a manager came in and asked if anybody knew anything about Medicare. We all like looked at him like, I don't even know what you're talking about. What is that? And so I raised my hand because they gave free training. I'll take it for free. And when I took the training, finished all the testing, they sent me out to a woman who was about 70 years old. She opened that door and was literally bringing me inside, dragging me, offering me coffee and cake. How can you not love that?
Yeah.
All right. That's for an insurance agent, bringing you in, sitting you down, offering you coffee and cake. So I didn't know what I was doing, but I verbatim read through what I was supposed to. And at the end, she was so happy that I explained it to her that she wanted to enroll in the Medicare plan. And it was that way ever since. Everywhere I go, I get coffee, I get sandwiches, I get cake, and the people love the education. So I said, screw the rest of the insurance products. I love Medicare because I love coffee. you can't help it. You know, that's
which
why
is
you
first
do it.
Thing she asked for when she walked through the door here, actually. Exactly. I didn't have any cake, though. I felt bad.
The way to Diane's heart is through her belly.
Yeah, there you go. I know. Unfortunately, that's going to be my next podcast, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, that's exactly what it's about. Give me some coffee, and I'm here. Make me happy.
Well, and you've done 35 episodes at this point, right?
I cannot believe it, but it's once a week, so it's been 35 weeks, unbelievably. It comes out every Friday, so next one will be on Friday morning. 35 episodes, if you could even believe I have enough material about Medicare to talk about and educate people about Medicare. Yes.
We get it, because somebody, dear and sweet husband of mine, said, "You're doing a podcast about horses? What are you going to talk about after the first week?" I was like, yeah. And here we are.
6 years later.
1,300 episodes, almost 1,400 episodes later.
I told Glenn on my way here that I saw more horses down the street, which ended up to be about a mile, than I've ever seen in my whole life. I've never seen so many horses in one location.
You can tell she's from the country, right?
She's a rural girl. I mean, I can't believe that you haven't seen that many horses.
Where are you from,
sound
anyway?
So rural.
I'm from Brooklyn, Boston? New York. Brooklyn, no, do yeah, not say Brooklyn. Boston. That just puts the hair up on my back of my neck.
Well, we're glad you're sitting in today. Diane wanted to come see how I push all the buttons and how everything's done for the live show. So
it's great to be in the country and relax.
She got to see Scooter this morning. We haven't had time to go out and actually say hi, but we'll do that in a little bit. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Wacky Wednesday edition, brought to you by the Horse Radio Network Auditors, we'll start out with Auditor Marie, who just got a new Mustang, so she's going to share the fun. And then next up, a Haggard Horse Health Report reports on the new vaccination rules from the United States Equestrian Federation. And then rounding out our romp through the equinosphere, Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer has the headlines from across the pond. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And Diane, we do something that's, I don't know how this started. It started very early on. We decided to do shout outs to people, and then we called them a daily Winnie, and then we've been using this same sounder since. My Daily Winnie is kind of a joint Daily Winnie with Jennifer. We have come up with a name, and as everybody in the audience knows, we name our horses after Muppets, and we're continuing the tradition. We sat down last night and went through the long list. You know how many Muppets there are, Jamie, since the beginning of the Muppets starting the TV show all those years ago? There's 1,000 Muppets. It's just incredible the number of Muppets there are. So my Daily Winnie goes out to Jim Henson for creating the Muppets and giving us entertainment all those years and also helping us to name Jennifer's horse. And remember I said Jennifer's new horse, the big red one, is kind of, we couldn't figure out his personality. It's almost like, it almost like doesn't have one, you know? And we were just, the other day, even after the show, after we talked to you on the show, we were like, man, this guy just doesn't have much personality. So when we were looking through the list of Muppets last night and reading their descriptions, Jennifer found this one. So tell everybody, Jennifer.
His name is officially Nigel, which is also easy to say. And Nigel is the orchestra conductor on the Muppet show that was on TV a while back, not the new Muppet show, the old Muppet show. And he started out as the show host, the job that Kermit the Frog has, but he was deemed too wimpy and lacking in charisma to star in the show. So they made him the conductor. And he's also an excellent whistler.
Bless his little heart.
So that's why we saw lacking in charisma. And then it hit us. That is her new horse. He just kind of lacks charisma.
I thought of something, Glenn.
Yeah.
For folks who are not familiar with Muppets, because I discovered yesterday that there are some people in the universe who are not familiar with Muppets, he would be Andy Griffith from The Andy Griffith Show if he was a human.
Yeah, kind
of. Just sweet and kind and wonderful, yeah. But a little bit bland.
A little bit of a pushover.
He's the kid sitting in the back row.
A little bit of a pushover.
Yeah, he comes in and goes to the back row. He does not sit in the front row.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was Southern right there.
There you go. That's Andy Griffith.
All right. So Nigel. Nigel's his name.
Nigel it is.
N-I-G-E-L. Easy to spell. All right. Your turn.
Well, if I'm not talking about thoroughbreds, I'm talking about Mustangs. And so my daily whinny goes out to Ben Masters, which you guys know Ben as the kind of the star of Unbranded. He's the one who went out and rode Mustangs 3,000 miles from the southern tip of the U.S., southern border to the northern border. And so Ben has actually got a job. It's a real job now. The BLM has just announced three selections for the National Wild Horse and Burro Advisory Board. So Ben has been named, I didn't realize this. He holds a Bachelor of Science for degree in Wildlife and Fishery Sciences from Texas A&M. And he's going to basically work as an advocate with the BLM. So he's going to serve a 3-year term on the advisory board, and he will be basically in there raising awareness and helping them. Reading these government jobs is like ridiculous, but basically he's going to work for the BLM and we have a good guy on our side. Boom.
Well, cool. Ben's getting a job. Do you remember at the beginning of the movie, he had just graduated from college, and instead of getting jobs, is why they didn't want to get jobs, which is why they took the trip.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the postgraduate trip. Instead of going to the beach, they decided to ride 3,000 miles through rough terrain. But that's interesting. Ben got a job.
Wow. Ben got a job.
I'm sure
his
parents are proud.
Now, I have another story that I was kind of thinking I should use as a daily whinny. And this is a magical story. And Glenn, it just goes to prove that we all knew what we were talking about. Okay. They're real. Unicorns were real. And there is fossilized evidence that shows where they live. According to a study published in the American Journal of Applied Sciences, the Siberian unicorn walked the earth about 29,000 years ago. That means there could be one out there still. But they found the fossilized skull and realized they thought it was way older. They thought it died out 350,000 years ago, but actually it's only like almost 30,000 years ago. It was in Kazakhstan in the Pavlodar region. And just so you know, the unicorn that we have in our brain is not actually what they looked like. And what I'm getting out of this is that unicorns were like the size of woolly mammoths. They're huge. So when you think about your unicorn, it wasn't 15 hands. It was like 47 hands tall.
Oh, so it wasn't?
My little pony.
It was not that?
Little, oh.
No. It reportedly stood about 6'6", measured 15 feet long, and weighed, get this, about 8,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's not what you picture in the Disney cartoons.
Technically, Glenn, it kind of was... It looks more like a rhinoceros than a
which
horse.
Which is probably what it was, right?
But I mean, it doesn't matter.
Didn't they say rhinos? Is it rhinos that were the descent were related to horses most closely, or was it hippos?
It's a hippo. But rhinos are clearly more related to unicorns. So when you see a rhino, think unicorn.
Okay,
Or you could say it like my 2-year-old says it. It's a rhinoceros. I mean, just when I read it, he's like rhinoceros. And so the rhinoceros and the unicorn are closely related. They're just about twins, and unicorns existed. So take that, science.
Hey, Jamie, I just want to let you know the timing on this is just unbelievable. You know that the unicorn hairstyle is the fad right now?
Well, I mean, you would know. You're the Brooklyn girl.
That's right. All right. I'm telling you right now that people are running around with unicorn stems with the hair. I don't know what kind of hairspray is holding all that up, but it looks like a unicorn horn, and they're running around now. That's the new fad. Instead of coloring your hair, you're making yourself have a unicorn stem.
Now, I would totally do that, Glenn. I would have unicorn hair if it fit under the helmet, and that's the problem.
Yeah, the helmet kind of is a problem. We could cut a hole in the top of the helmet.
Let's develop a hole.
Yeah, just to have it stick right out the top. That'd be a look.
I knew we had Diane here for a reason. She's a genius.
And you know, I think this is the thickest New York accent we've ever had on the show, too. In 5,000 episodes, we've never had that accent.
What about the train? What about that trainer? What about American Pharoah's trainer? Come on.
Oh, yeah. He's
see? All right.
All right. Let's go to our first guest, Jamie. Do you want to do the introduction?
I am so excited to have her on. She is an auditor. Her name is Marie Cornell, and she messaged me all weekend because and weekends previous when this whole thing started. First, we'll say good morning, Marie.
Good morning.
I feel like we know each other. I feel like I've been through this journey with you, and it's time for us to share this journey with others.
It's been quite a journey, yes, and I have you and Glenn to blame for sure.
Yeah. Are you married?
It's not the only thing we've been blamed for.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, I am. And yes, and he does know that I bought a Mustang. Yes.
Please don't tell him my home address because I really want no part of it. Now, so basically, congratulations are in order because you just got a Mustang, girl.
I am so excited. Number one, to have bought a Mustang without a horse in general, without even seeing it in person. I'm just so excited. I've never bought anything on the internet for more than like $50. So it was quite a challenge, leap of faith, but I'm so excited. And then to be on the air with you guys is just awesome.
Icing on the cake, man. I mean, I'm sure it's going to really compare. So talk to us about, first of all, how does buying a Mustang on the internet, sight unseen, how does that happen? How does that work?
Well, first,
because I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too, actually.
I'm screwed.
Right? So I listened to you guys and learned about Unbranded, and then we, you know, went and organized the only place it played in Michigan that I know of was the Novi Theater. So we got all of our horsey friends together and went down there and saw it and just loved it. So everyone got Unbranded for Christmas and all that. And I started really Googling the BLM, and I followed, you know, I knew about Thor and I followed your auction through the Getting Zeus and all of that. And I knew that I needed a broke horse, or at least something that was started. I just didn't have the time to sit down and tame one, you know, with a job. I have to have a job to support my horse habit.
That damn husband makes you work.
I know it. God.
So there's a website where you can go on and look at Mustangs for auction.
Yeah, so the BLM does these auctions online, internet adoptions is what they're called, and they do them online. It looks like they do them every other month or so. And they put on, they have different drop sites. And that was the most appealing thing to me, is because I'm in Michigan, there's the only way to get a broke Mustang is to either go to an Extreme Makeover, which are the closest ones 900 miles away, or to go, like you did, to go into the prison system. So I was looking and stalking on the internet, found these BLM adoptions, and then I was like, okay, well, at least these are going to be delivered to Michigan, so then I can go pick them up. It'll be closer, and maybe I've lost my mind, and I'll just get an untamed one, if that's what it comes down to. And then I went online. I watched in the February auction, and there wasn't anything that really caught my eye. And then went online for the March auction, and lo and behold, there's one broke horse. And they have pictures of them riding her, and she happens to be my absolute favorite color.
It was meant to be.
That's when I started messaging you, like, oh my God, I'm really going to do this. So then I bid on her and immediately got outbid, thinking, you know, these horses, there's 200 horses, probably all of them are going to get adopted, but she's the only one that's riding. Everyone's going to bid on her, and she's going to be out of my price range. And so I waited until the last minute, which was yesterday, when I sent all these Facebook messages going, oh my God, I think I'm going to win. Oh my gosh, I won. It was quite a process, but it's going to be an adventure. But unfortunately, she doesn't get delivered until May, because that's the Michigan drop site.
So basically, you can, let me get this straight, because this sounds awesome. You can buy a horse online and they'll like basically bring it to you, or is it somewhere close?
Jamie, you drove 1,200 hours to get to-
I did, twice. Like, this sounds awesome.
And trust me, I was going to the, I'm still going to the Nevada Extreme Makeover, but this time I don't have the pressure of driving 1,000 miles or finding a ride for my horse from Nevada to Michigan. So this really appealed to me. So yeah, I just went on the internet, and they have different drop sites for different auctions. So I think the next online auction for the BLM, the drop sites are on the East Coast so that they can get more coverage through that area. And I've been emailing back and forth with the different BLM people. Of course, you have to be approved in order to bid, because you have to fill an application in order to adopt a Mustang. And so they said they're going to try and get more Eastern U.S. drop sites because they know that people are now more interested in Mustangs thanks to Ben Masters.
Right.
Exactly. Well, Marie, I love the fact that you posted this on the Auditor's private Facebook page when you first did it, and everybody the whole weekend was following along with you through this auction, and you kept posting updates. And we were all yesterday sitting on the edges of our seats waiting to hear your news through the end of the auction. And that was just so cool. Thank you for including us in that.
Yeah, I love the Auditor's page. It was great support system, and I'll keep you guys posted as I go to pick her up. Now I just have the long wait until May 20th to get her, but yeah, I'll keep you posted and send you some pictures.
All right, now I have to ask, because I'm sure it's public. Anybody could look at the auction, right? Can we ask what you paid? And you can say it really quietly if your husband's there.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen. We're good.
Really, after Jamie's story at the auction, I was thinking that's what's going to happen to me, right? And I always set a limit, and I always go over it because I get caught up in the auction, and, you know, just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, auctioneers count on that, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I waited until the end, and I bid. The bidding was at $560, and so I bid. The next thing you can bid is $565. And so I was like, okay, I'll bid up to $600. And so it immediately went to $565, and then no one else bid.
Okay, now so Jamie is ready to kill you because, she. Let's remind everybody what Jamie paid for her last one.
Listen, it's not important, Glenn. It's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's about the love.
Although Marie's sitting there going, oh, I hope Glenn wasn't going to ask that, because now Jamie's going to go, I just paid five times that for mine. And it wasn't delivered to me.
And I had to go get it and spend $1,000 in fuel costs.
Obviously, okay. You should have spoken to Marie first. She knows how to do this, Jamie.
I know. And so you just basically went on to BLM.gov. I just Googled BLM adopt a horse, or beyond BLM online adoption. And like, I am in love. I am in love, Glenn.
Chad will not let you get another horse right now. You realize that, right?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you, Glenn. I was busy.
Hey, Jamie, I'm a little confused. So Marie won a Mustang, a convertible, or a hot top?
This is why we don't have Brooklyn New Yorkers on her show, Glenn.
I don't understand. I'm confused. And she's getting a horse that she bought for $565, and they're going to deliver the convertible to her?
That's correct. Yeah. All right. It is a convertible, actually.
It is?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because your head sticks out the top when you're riding it. So.
Oh, I need this little black one. Okay, I'll take him. And there's a little gray gelding. Yeah, this is awesome. So for those who are interested in getting a Mustang and having a piece of American heritage, Google BLM adoption online, and you can just pick one out of the lineup. They're like in corrals, and they take pictures of them all, and they describe them. And so you saw this one. What drew you to this one's, to this particular horse, and what are you going to call her?
Well, like I said, she's my favorite color. She's relatively young. She's three, so she's had a good start, but she'll probably just be my second horse until, you know, I can get her going. And and the way I want. But so she's the color of the horse from the Man from Snowy River, and I know everyone except Glenn knows what I'm talking about.
That's right. And Diane. Diane has no idea either.
I have no idea.
And Diane, I'm sorry.
So, it wasn't really popular in the theaters in the Bronx. Brooklyn, rather.
It wasn't popular in the Bronx either.
And so her color's what drew me to her most, but that she's, like, perfect for what I wanted, and she just kind of, like, I'm telling, as I'm bidding yesterday, the whole office knows I'm bidding because I cannot keep it a secret. And so did you get the horse? And I got the same questions that Diane asked. Are you talking about a car?
I know what I'm talking about.
And then I showed the picture, and at the time, the picture that I had, she had splint boots on the front when they were riding her, and they went, Marie, why are you buying this one? It's got bandages on its legs.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Right? So I had to explain a lot of that. But yet, in terms of, once I told them, like, this has to be, it's meant to be because she's my favorite color. She's being delivered to Michigan. Like, it really can't get any better than this.
Well, congratulations. Absolutely. That's great.
I'm so excited.
Do you show
you.
Or do you trail ride? What do you do?
Well, I do a lot of trail riding, and that's probably what I'll do with her right
now.
Well,
Michigan's a great place to do that.
It is. And I've also gotten addicted to mounted shooting.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully she'll be doing that so we can. And I'm going to try and do what Jamie's going to try and do with Zeus, is like get her going well enough and demonstrate how capable the Mustangs are, and then move her on and get another one, or, you know, so hopefully try to do that.
Find and a good show home or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah. I can put a lot of time and miles on, but I can't start the initial process. So that's what I hope to do, is just make a good using horse that people can, you know, I can sell and grab another one and do this and kind of help the Mustangs out that way.
Good for you.
Hey,
good
congratulations,
girl.
Marie.
I'm so excited for you. You're terrific. Just going to love it because they're just the most honest horse you will ever be around. If something, your horse reacts to something, you're going to be like, it's so easy to figure out why they did that, because they're just as honest as can be. They've never been lied to. They've just unbelievable horses. I'm so excited for you, and I can't wait to follow the process. And once you name her, she's going to need her own Facebook page that I can follow.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm most impressed about is we inspired somebody to do something other than turn the radio off. I'm really impressed with that. Marie, just real quick, we are brought to you by the auditors today, and this is the year of the listener. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. If there are people out there listening that are not auditors, what would you tell them? And we know there are a lot of them. So.
Well, I love the auditor's Facebook page. It's really great. Lived up to all the hype, even, you know, I haven't been on there that long, but I think this show is really valuable, and I needed to feel like I contributed to it. You know, I've gotten a lot from you guys. And so that's why I chose to be an auditor.
Actually, it's more sounds like we cost you money, about $600. Well, Marie,
free shipping and handling.
Yeah, free. That's right. Thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate it. And congratulations, girl. We can't wait to see all the pictures.
Thank you.
And we'll have you back on after you get the horse, okay? We'll give you a couple weeks to do some bonding, and then we'll have you back on, and you can give us an update.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Marie.
Thanks.
Well, that's really cool. I'm so glad that she did that. And anytime we can find a home for a Mustang, that's terrific. And I saw Diane, by the way, if you're joining us late, Diane is here. She is sitting in. She's a fellow podcaster from Florida, from Florida Podcasters Association. Hey, Chris, who runs that? And she does a podcast on Medicare, actually. It's called Medicare Nation. And we appreciate her stopping by to see how things work, how the magic works here at the farm. And when she said that she's taken up mounted shooting, I could see your face going, yeah, they've done that out of Mustangs in New York too.
That's right.
Convertible. Exactly what you were thinking.
I was thinking
convertibles.
That.
Yes, exactly.
I'm learning a lot. What an education. Why don't you just tell me what a Mustang is in a horse? What is that?
It's a wild, the wild horses of the United States. Are
the
Mustangs.
Wild horse.
They
so the woman
horses.
Adopted
These
a
were
wild
actually
horse.
Taken off the plains. And yeah, and this one happened to have a little bit of training on it, but a lot of them that you get are untrained, untouched. So you have to be the one to train them and get them broken to humans and do all of that. So we always think it's a good thing because there's like 40,000 of these Mustangs sitting in holding pens for the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM. And it's important that we find homes for these horses because some have been in these holding pens for years. Aww. With thousands of horses just smashed into these holding pens. So that's why So that's why we promote so much the adoption of Mustangs and why Jamie did it.
Yeah. Jamie, nice job.
Yep.
Aw. Why don't we take a quick break to hear from Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to get to our next guest.
She swallowed hard as they walked into the start box. She could feel his muscles tense under her leg. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have a great ride. She didn't have to ask. He galloped out of the box and across the field toward their first training level course. His ears pricked. Her heart pounded. He attacked each obstacle with confidence, clearing them with room to spare. A huge smile broke out on her face as she crossed through the finish flags. She leaned forward and buried her face in his neck. Their bond of love and trust blocked out all else. This love story is brought to you by Elevate. Research proven to have superior bioavailability. Elevate supplies the essential vitamin E often missing from the equine diet. Its all-natural formula supports healthy muscle and nerve functions. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And, of course, every Wednesday, we are joined by Haggard, and we do the Haggard Horse Health Report. And today, we have Dr. Laura Werner with us. Good morning, Dr. Werner.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you stopping by, and we love Haggard dropping by here every day. And it seems like, and Haggard has so many vets, I don't think we're ever going to duplicate in, like, 10 years.
That is very possible.
Well, we know you're busy there. It's a busy time of year. And I know that you are, I want to talk a little bit about you first. You kind of work with the competitive side, right?
I try. Yes, I do try. So sometimes with scheduling is a little difficult, but I do try to be a competitor myself as well.
And you're an eventer, right?
Correct.
There you go. Good. Yeah. And you also, I know, worked as a delegate, a veterinary delegate at some of the three-day eventing competitions in the United States. So talk a little bit about that. What's a veterinary delegate do?
The veterinary delegate is there at the competitions just to make sure, obviously, the welfare of the horse is the most important. So we're there to assess the horses for soundness and fitness prior to the competition, and then assess them during the competition after the cross-country phase, and then as well before the show jumping phase to make sure they're sound and fit to continue on the competition. Because obviously, like I said, the horse is the utmost concern at the FEI events. So. So we get to, it's fun to travel around and, see the different venues and work with the competitors and, So I'm excited. Actually, this summer I'm going to Rebecca Farms in Montana, as well as the Young Riders Comp National North American Young Riders Competition is in Colorado this year. So we'll be going headed straight from Rebecca Farms to Colorado this year.
I always thought that'd be a good gig, the veterinary delegate at a show, because it gets you out of the gets you out doing something fun.
It is. Yeah. It is nice to see. It is nice. Like I said, I live vicariously somewhat through those guys, through my clients.
You're not riding at Rolex level yet, Dr. Werner?
No, I don't think that's in my future, unfortunately, but, you know, one can dream. So
that whole having a job thing. Now, do you have to be licensed in those states to practice the medicine, or are you under like an FEI blanket or something?
As an FEI delegate, right, that you don't have to be licensed in those states for to work as a delegate, right? Because you're not really, you know, you're not really treating anything. The delegates are not allowed to treat any horses, so it's just assessment of them, basically. So that's why that's a license is not required. So.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So what we wanted to talk to you about a little bit today is there's some new rules that are in effect for eventers. And this is something that I just was speaking with my vet seriously 2 days ago, and there's a new vaccination rule for competitors.
Correct. So it's actually through the USEF. So it's not just eventing discipline. It's all the USEF sanctioned disciplines. So that is, makes it even a little bit more widespread. I think,
non-eventers pay attention.
Non-eventers pay attention. Exactly. So it does involve, any USEF recognized discipline, or competition. So, the new rule came into place just this year. So it's still a bit, you know, the horse shows, at least on the eventing side that I've been a part of, haven't really necessarily required any of the paperwork yet. So I'm not sure how that's going, but I know at some of the show jumping and hunter jumper competitions that paperwork has been required already. So
tell everybody what
prepared for.
Yeah. What is the rule?
So the rule is that they're required to have a vaccination for rhinopneumonitis or herpes virus, as well as equine influenza virus, every 6 months. And this has to be documented either with some paperwork from your veterinarian, which is probably the easiest way for that to be kept track of, as well as the other option is if you do your own vaccines at home, a receipt has to be provided for the vaccination, as well as the information when it was given, the serial number, all that has to be provided. So I find it's just probably easier. Most of my clients were doing, have us as veterinarians do their vaccinations. And that way it's just a little less paperwork for them to keep track of.
That's exactly what my vet said. She's like, let me do it.
Yeah. And it does help because, you know, it just, a lot of the FEI horses are required anyway to have a flu virus every 6 months. And so it's just easier to keep track of and keep all the horses on a similar schedule. And that way it doesn't interfere with their competition schedule as well, because FEI horses aren't allowed to have a vaccine within 6 months or six days prior to the competition or 7 days prior to the competition. So it just gets tight sometimes with everyone's busy competition schedules and having the horses time off and then trying to get veterinarians out to vaccinate the horses that sometimes a tight time frame when you can get those vaccines done. So this rule actually helps the horses that are doing FEI competitions as well. So it's one and the same essentially now.
So you said it has to be every 6 months. It has to be documented. Say I haven't really competed my horse in a long time and I haven't left the farm in a long time. Well, I want to go do a show in May and I need to vaccinate my horse. Is there a problem if I don't have proof of the past, or is it just they want the current 6 month window?
They want the current within 6 months of that competition. Yes. Okay. So that would be okay. You know, American Association of Equine Practitioners does recommend that vaccine anyway, every 6 months. So this is just going along with AAP recommendations and FEI rules. It's just like I said, it's just going to streamline the whole process because now everything's going to be the same recommendations, if that makes any sense.
Gotcha. Well, it certainly makes sense. And that's definitely something that I've always thought my horses needed if they are competing. Is this rule implementation because of the outbreaks of the herpes? And I thought that maybe the vaccine didn't cover this strain of the herpes virus that's been going around.
That's correct. It doesn't always provide coverage completely for the neurologic form of herpes, which is what you hear where there's herpes outbreaks. There are some vaccines that might be have a little bit more protection against the other that, but there's no specific vaccine, unfortunately, for the neurologic form of herpes at this time. And the reason they implemented the rule is that different horse shows were requiring different vaccine protocols. So in other words, some horse shows were requiring vaccinations as frequently as 90 days, which over vaccination isn't necessarily a good thing either. And then, like I said, because of these horses were in other competitions, it would interfere with, you know, the competitions and what was safe and best for the horse as well too. And so they just took the competition control of that out of that by USCF implementing this rule. And like I said, so it just standardized it and made it what's probably best for the horse's best interest.
Gotcha. So there's what you have your vet out, they vaccinate your horse and they give you a receipt, or what's the document that has to be filled out?
We're just using a letter basically that has that information on it. And that way it can be sent,
with your entry.
You know, Coggins and health certificate entry, whatever else is required. Exactly. Normally this information is normally recorded anyway in the horse's passport, but, you know, we're just doing kind of a letter that has that information in it. So it can be sent off with the entry and provided if necessary. And some of these online entry forms even have a space you can upload it, you know, right onto the, so you can do that with your electronic entries as well.
Gotcha. Just like the Coggins now. Wonderful.
Correct.
Well, this is excellent information. I do appreciate it. I feel like I should let you go because I know that you were up all night with baby troubles, and I know it wasn't your baby. Like,
no,
a human
not
baby.
No, unfortunately, the four-legged kind. Yes, it's that time of year here in the bluegrass. So,
oh my gosh.
Hey, Dr. Werner, can I ask you a question? My name
sure.
is Diane Daniels. I'm the lowly guest on the show from New York, but I
she's
have a
not
question.
A horse chick.
I'm not a horse
okay,
chick,
okay.
But I know horses from pet farms and animal farms like that. If I'm at a pet farm and you know, interacting and feeding horses, the influenza virus that you were speaking about, can it be transmitted from horse to human, or is that a different strain?
It is not the same strain. However, you can act as basically a fomite or you know, and help transmit the disease. So if you pet the horse that has a problem, either the herpes virus or the influenza virus, and then pet another horse, you can participate in that disease transmission process. So washing hands, especially, like I said, if you're handling horses that aren't your own in a different place, and then going back to handle your own horses is always the best thing. Just, you know, washing hands just with the transmitting cold and flu viruses between humans as well is the recommended. And like I said, if you do encounter a sick horse, you know, obviously changing your clothes and, you know, wearing a fresh set of clothes when you go back to your own horses or handling other horses is also recommended.
Thank you very much. That makes the vaccination much more important.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Werner. I appreciate that.
I was waiting for something sarcastic coming out of you, but that was actually...
No, listen, she's a very big professional, okay? I don't fool around with the professionals, okay?
Well, I told her, I said my wit's not as quick this morning due to lack of sleep,
yeah,
so I'll have to...
We'll
next
forgive
time,
you
hopefully
for that.
We'll catch you guys.
Now,
yeah.
Dr. Werner, you're in Lexington, and I must ask, were you up all night with anybody famous, like Zenyatta's new baby?
It's client privilege.
No, not that I know of, but sometimes sometimes we don't find out till later, but I don't think last night, no one famous. No one famous.
I'm waiting.
At least not yet, but you never know.
I'm waiting for the
I'm
word.
Sorry.
I said I'm waiting
yeah,
for
no,
the word
not,
on Zinni's
I know, but we worked on a younger horse and obviously a foal, so who knows what their future is to come. So that's the most exciting part about the whole thing is that you may be working on the next star.
Do you do that years later when they actually become famous? Go, I touched that baby.
saved it.
Sometimes if we know, obviously we work on enough, it's sometimes hard to remember, but I do remember names of the horses probably better than I remember names of people sometimes. So if I recognize the name, then that does make me feel, obviously gives you a pretty good job satisfaction.
back in the day.
Go on and do what they're going to do.
I saved some horse named American Pharaoh.
Yes.
I saved his life.
That's right.
Well, Dr. Werner, we do appreciate you coming on and go get some sleep while you can before all these mares start dropping their babies tonight. And we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Very good. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Dr. Werner.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Haggard and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
Well, Diane, you know, we talk about in podcasting and at a lot of the meetings, we talk with other podcasters about how to find sponsors. And we do that pretty well here at the Horse Radio Network. However, there are some sponsors that actually cost me more money than we make. And one of those sponsors is Smooth Stride Jeans. And I'll tell you why. Because Jennifer just got two more pairs of Smooth Stride Jeans. And I think that this has been a losing sponsorship now since we started it.
New horse, new cool, new clothes.
She's like, I love these so much. I need two more pairs.
Hey, I think you look really good in them, Jen. So I think if you'd like to buy another pair for a spare, then you go for it, girl.
Actually, you know what? That's before we went to PodFest that she bought the other two pairs because she wanted to wear them the entire weekend. These are like your most... She does look really good.
Yeah, I know. Her butt looks good.
Yeah. Yep. So these are your favorite. I mean, you don't wear anything else jeans-wise anymore. And this isn't just a ride. You know, this is just out.
Yeah. You're probably familiar with the TV show What Not to Wear. I could star in What Not to Wear because... That famous line, they're comfortable. Who cares what they look like, right?
Right?
Well, that's me. They're comfortable. I don't care what they look like. But I'm trying to up my game a little bit. You know, I'm in the public eye and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to hold up my end of the bargain. So when I came across the Smooth Stride jeans, I got the riding jeans because I never skimp on my riding stuff. And they were super comfortable. And then Glenn said, wow, you look really good in those.
Ding, 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 ding.
So now I got the ones without the knee patches on them. They're just regular jeans because they're super comfortable. Yay, me. But they look good. Yay!
They look awesome.
So, yeah, I'm ditching all the crappy jeans. I'm getting my Smooth Stride.
All right, so what I want to know is, do they come in all sizes for big girls too, like me?
They come in every size of the rainbow.
All right, then I'm going to be
checking
them out.
And you know how they do their sizing, Diane?
This is interesting.
They do their sizing by breed. So you're an Arabian, a Mustang, a Paint, and then it goes all the way up to... Well, you know what? They don't really put the... When it gets to the larger sizes,
no
they don't
Shire
put draft horse names up there.
No.
I was just thinking, I'm like, that's got to be bad.
Yeah, I'm a Clydesdale. that's not good.
I know what a Mustang is now.
It goes up to Dakota. And I'm not sure what how big a Dakota is.
Let me go get my Percheron pants. Good Lord.
And men and women?
These are just women for now.
They ladies, all right.
Yeah, they're ladies' jeans, and they look really good. They have three different kinds. They have what Jennifer was talking about, the knee patch. They also have full seat, and then they also have the ones without patches at all, just what you'd consider regular jeans. Now, you could ride in them. And the seams are different even in... They don't have the inseams, right? Even in the plain ones, Jennifer, right? So you can ride in those.
That is correct. They're all the same clever design. And for ladies, you don't know how much that seam bothers you until it's not there. And then you go, oh my gosh, what have these been all my life?
Well, and it messes with your tack too. It puts lines on your, if you have a nice saddle, you don't want to sit in regular jeans and a nice saddle. Now I've got a question, and you can give me a ballpark. How much are these?
I'm looking at the website now. I can tell you they run from like $115 to the full seats, $155.
Gotcha.
So from 115 to 155.
So this is costing you money, Glenn.
Yeah, it is. Sponsorship. I'm telling you, it's costing me money. But I'll tell you what, these are the first riding jeans that she's ever liked. And we've tested. We get stuff in here to test all the time. And, we haven't ever talked about too many jeans before because most of them have been crap.
Denim is hard to pull off in a riding jean.
They've been crap. Yeah.
I mean, Glenn, here in horse country, you have heard the adage, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
You've heard of that, right?
Yeah.
So keep paying for those jeans.
Yeah, I know.
You know what that means for you. Keep paying for jeans, right, Jen?
Right. Absolutely. Well,
you can find them at smoothstride.com. Smoothstride.com. Give them a try. You're not going to be disappointed in these. Helena wears these all the time now, too.
I want the full seats.
Yeah, we know somebody that uses the full seats and loves them, and she's a dressage rider.
All right, what does that mean?
It means it has a patch on the butt.
It's like extra cushion.
Think of it that way.
Extra cushion.
Extra stickiness for your saddle.
Yeah,
so you can sit on it and not move.
Kind of like a Velcro slide around for yourself.
Beautiful.
All right, let's take a break for our song for the day. I thought we haven't heard this one in a very long time. It's I Love to Run by Templeton Thompson. And then we're coming back. Victoria is going to be joining us from Horse and Country TV with the European Report. And we got more to chat about here on the show today. So stay with us.
To the light, my whole life's led me to this moment. I lay all out on the line. Time to shine, time to rock and roll. I'm feeling a million butterflies. Oh, but I've never been so ready. Watch me when I hit my stride. Speed of light. Yeah, I'm strong and steady. Yeah. I love to run. There's a feeling that drives me, a fire down inside me, burns like the sun. And fly, I gotta fly. 'Cause for me it's my breathing. Start to fade if the day seems to have my number. Ain't no need to be afraid. I'll escape from the cloud I'm under. 'Cause I ain't in it for the fame or the pain or the so-called glory. I'm just living how I'm made. That's what they'll say when they tell my story. I love to run. There's a feeling that drives me, a fire down inside me that burns like the sun. And fly, I gotta fly. 'Cause for me it's like and I ride. that burns like the sun. And fly, I gotta fly. 'Cause for me it's like breathing, my reason for being when I'm most alive. I'm bound to run. Yeah.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson with I Love to Run. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And we have our New Yorker, Diane, with us today.
Hello, all you out there. I'm preparing for your next guest.
You know, you don't even have to try and do it thick. You already have it thick. She has the thickest Brooklyn accent that I've ever heard in Florida. We wanted to two things. I wanted to say the name of the company again. The people listening live missed the name of the jean company. It's Smooth, Smooth Stride.com. SmoothStride.com. All right. We want to congratulate and welcome the new auditors for this week. We have Christina, Kelly, and Kathleen who have joined us. We really appreciate you all. And ladies, we hope you enjoy. I know all of you are in the Facebook page and chatting away. There, and I will say that next week there's a new blooper reel coming out. So Jamie's the only one, Diane, that doesn't get on the blooper reel because it's live. There's no blooper.
Because I'm perfect.
That's right, because she's perfect. So we save all the bloopers and we put them into blooper reels, and the auditors are the only ones that get to hear the blooper reels. So there's a new blooper reel coming out next week.
Can't wait.
Well, a couple news stories here. The first, I thought we'd do a little celebrity news, and that this one involves Kaylee Cuoco, who we still haven't gotten on the show. Unfortunately, Kaylee still hasn't responded to coming on the show, but someday, maybe. She has a new boyfriend. As we talked about, she was getting divorced from the tennis player, and you know she's a big horse girl. Apparently, she's dating what they're calling a hunky equestrian rider, Carl Cook. Carl with a K, Cook. Apparently, he's a show jumper and has been out on the hits circuit, and she's been spotted with him a couple times and posted a picture with him. So, Carl Cook, an equestrian now, is dating Kaylee. Now, I initially thought, well, Kaylee makes $1 million an episode. If I'm an equestrian, she's a good get, right? Well, Carl doesn't need the money. Carl comes from a family worth $2 billion.
So, I'm sorry. I thought you said billion.
Yeah, I did. I said billion. So Carl's not hurting for money, and Kaylee's not dating down. So, yeah.
Good for her. I would think that a horse girl's going to cost you money whether she has money or not. It's just going to cost you. However, if you have $2 billion, you got room to go. You have room to spare.
And, you know, his dad started, you know, you've heard of TurboTax, Intuit, TurboTax. Everybody's heard of TurboTax. He's the one that started TurboTax. And that's why he's worth $2 billion.
Well, we give him money every year, so.
That's right. We do, too. Actually, we do, too.
Nice.
Fact, I just gave him $100, actually.
Hey, I'm getting the feeling that horse women are very high maintenance. Am I correct here?
No, not at all.
No,
not at all.
You know, I'd like to think of it like this. Some women collect shoes, you know, and they collect shoes, and that's a really big, important thing. Some women collect saddle pads and horses.
Phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
I don't spend $100 on my shoes. I may spend that on my horse's shoes, but I don't have nice shoes. So it all balances out.
Well, you know, something that popped up in this article, this was in my favorite website, the Daily Mail. Something popped up in this article. It said in there that Kaylee was the winner of the 2015 Horsewoman of the Year Award by the Humane Society. I can't
get that story, and you never listened to me.
You did it?
I did that story, and it just goes to show you, you're a man and you don't pay attention.
Okay. Apparently, Jamie did that story. That's true. Maybe I wasn't there that day. True. Maybe I was out.
Sure. Yeah. Let's go with that, because I did a Kaylee Cuoco story on a day you weren't here.
We've been trying to get Kaylee and Carrie Underwood forever, and neither one.
I have no idea who Kaylee is, but I definitely know who Carrie
She's
Underwood.
Obviously not a Big Bang Theory fan either. You found a fellow kindred spirit.
No, I actually like Big Bang Theory. She's,
well, she's
on that
the girl.
Show. Which girl?
She's the blonde girl, the main character.
Oh, yes, okay.
Leonard's girlfriend.
Thank you, Jamie. If she's you just would have spoke English, I would have understood what you said.
She's obviously not watched it a lot.
Why would I know their first names and their real names?
So that's also, Jennifer, you can feel better. In the news today, the crazy chestnut horse myth has been debunked.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. Apparently, a researcher out of Australia, Claire Wade, who is a professor of veterinary science at the University of Sydney, has done a study of 477 horses with a wide range of backgrounds in order to test the long-held belief that chestnut horses are nuts. Well, she determined that that they pretty much act like all the other horses. One of the things that she did find is that chestnut horses tended to be pushier or a little bossier than other colors of horses, but she said that there really wasn't even definitive evidence of that. So, you know, she wasn't even sure where that myth came from. It's an old wives' tale. But, you know, she figured that it was because redheads are known for being fiery, and so that chestnuts just assumed that mantle. But that she's kind of proven that that's not true in this study.
So you're in the clear. We both are. We both got redheads.
Jennifer now owns two redheads. So I'm so glad she's in the clear. And this Nigel is about the, you know, most level-headed, non-threatening horse we ever met. So it doesn't fit for him, for sure.
Jen, I've got a question. So obviously you've still got Beaker out in the field. Does Beaker understand what's going on, or is he just like not really care? And is there any update on anybody showing interest in him as what his job needs to actually be?
Beaker, somebody came out, this is ironic, somebody from the neighborhood, she lives like two blocks away, came over and gave him a test ride last night, and he was an absolute perfect angel. He picked up both leads on the first try. That doesn't happen too often for me and for the test rider. So I think he
was a good boy.
He was a perfect angel. He went over and he dumped the tennis balls out of their tennis ball bucket right on command. That's one of his new tricks.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So he was an absolute angel, and he has been hanging out a lot with Nigel. They stand over in the corner underneath the tree. I think
they're talking about you.
Yeah. I think they're trading stories, and he's explaining to Nigel how to get the most cookies during a ride. He's explaining about how you have to stick your face in every single trash can on trash day and get a cookie for each one.
No, he's learned that. What he's telling him is go talk to the guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He has all the treats. He doesn't make me do anything.
Get on Glenn's good side.
Right. Talk to the guy. He's the guy.
That's right.
Hey, Jen, what kind of personality does Beaker have? You know, you said that Nigel has no charisma. So what's with Beaker?
Beaker is Walter Matthau reincarnated.
Wonderful.
Yes,
I got
gotcha.
You.
He is kind of Walter Matthau. That's a good description.
A love,
Grumpy,
a love slob.
Lovable.
Yeah, that's right. That's Grumpy, right. All right. Let's go to our next segment.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
That's right. It is time for Victoria to join us from Horse and Country TV with the European Report. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay. We have a special guest in studio today, as you could tell by the New York accent. So, Jamie hadn't switched. It was just a guess. So I just wanted to clarify that. So, Victoria, it's good to have you on again. You know, things are gearing up. I just talked to David Saunders yesterday because we recorded the driving show. He used to be the coachman to the Queen, and he's getting ready to go over to England for all the festivities and the Royal Windsor Horse Show and the Queen's birthday.
So, yeah, it's not far away at all. Nice.
Did you get your invite? Are you going?
I'm still not organized, but I do need to go to Windsor. And I think if you're at Windsor Horse Show, you get to go to the party afterwards. So I need to get organized.
You could meet the Queen. You got to go.
I met her when I was a baby.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Do you remember that? Or
No, but there is a picture. So it definitely did happen. But yes, no, she came to visit my dad's work when I was a little baby. So I met the Queen very early. At least she said she was there to visit my dad's work. I think she just wanted to meet me.
Oh, that's so, it. That's probably was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Victoria, I don't know if you're moving around a lot, but we're getting some static. So
yeah. Sorry, I'm not. I'm sitting still, but I'll try and keep very still.
Okay. I don't know what that's from.
I think it's Jamie.
Yeah, sure, it's me. Sorry.
So, Victoria, we're talking today, of course, about things on Horse and Country TV. What is the Blue Chip All-Star Academy?
Well, it's a brand new television show, and we're really excited about it. And people from America could apply if they wanted to, but they do have to get themselves and their horse over to the UK in 1 month's time. So, it's a brand new show, and it's basically we're looking for a group of just normal riders competing at kind of lower level. And then they are going to take part in a 3-day training camp, and then they're going to sort of audition for the show, and then they're going to be chosen, and they get these amazing prizes, and they get to become faces of the channel. So it's really exciting.
Is it horse people applying or non-horse people applying?
Yeah, you have to be horsey, and okay. You have to have your own horse, or at least a loan horse or a share horse or something.
Got it. And Americans can make the trip over if they want to spend the 10 grand to go be on the TV show?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we don't cover travel costs. So if you want to come over, head on over. You get amazing training. We've got like an Olympic rider, Ludwig Svennerstall, is giving a lesson. And we've got Pammy Hutton, who's a fellow of the British Horse Society and, a former British international dressage rider. And her son, Charlie, who's another international dressage rider and very handsome. So if you want to come and spend a week in the weekend in the UK learning from the best, then you should apply to be on the show.
Got it. Victoria, we're still getting a lot of static, which doesn't usually happen.
I don't hear a ton of static. I just hear like it sounds like she's eating candy.
Yeah, there's a rustling there. I don't know what that's from.
I'm definitely not eating candy, but is that any better?
That actually is better. So thank you for that.
It was my headphones, but better not.
Germany dominates the first leg of the Nations Cup. I assume we're talking jumping or eventing?
Eventing. So basically, through the winter, we have the World Cup, which is the indoor series. And then in the summer, we go on to the Nations Cup, which is held outdoors in their team competitions. So the eventing series is still relatively new. And Britain won it last year. But I think Germany are on track to win it this year. If Fontainebleau is anything to go by, not only did Germany win with some ease, they also won first, second and third in the individual rankings, thanks to a certain Mikael Jung.
By the way, we need a favor. If you could waylay him at the airport, if he's on his way over to Rolex here, if you could do something that his passport gets revoked or doesn't make his way over, we'd really appreciate it this year.
No, he's got to come, because then, as the reigning Burley winner, then he would become the live contender for the Rolex Grand Slam, and nobody's won it since Pippa Funnel. So I think it'd be quite cool if we have another live contender.
You know, we'd really like to win our own event once every 30 years or so, though, Victoria.
Well, there's lots of Americans coming over for badminton, so maybe you'll win ours instead.
How's it work out normally?
Yeah, that doesn't really...
It's not. I don't think there's been one for a while. and Michael Jung is coming, and he came once 3 years ago, and he came second by a fraction. So, I think he might.
All right, so he won Burley. If he wins Rolex, then he goes to badminton. He has to win badminton, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which no doubt will, because he's Michael Jung, and he wins everything with such ease. He's like, Olympic gold, world champion. Yeah, it's easy.
He's that way at the press conferences, too, isn't he? You've interviewed him. He's just like, I won. Is.
When he's won, he's like, great. And then when he lost badminton by one fence, final show jump fell, he was like, these things happen. So it was very bizarre.
Oh, well, you know, we might win our own event someday again.
Yes.
When Jamie gets her horse there, then we have a chance.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm on my way.
All right. So the next one, a dream win. Tell us. And that's another World Cup.
Yes. So as I was saying, the World Cup is the indoor series for individual riders, and they have qualifiers all through the winter, and then they've just had the finals at Gothenburg. And in the dressage, it was Hans-Peter Minderhood that won, and it was his first ever win. And he actually, apparently, he used to go to the World Cup as a groom, and he's now a rider and has won his first title. So he was very happy. And it's quite a cool story to think that you can go from groom to being champion.
So Charlotte wasn't there?
No. Charlotte had qualified with Utopia. I think Vallegro's being very carefully aimed at Rio and is hardly doing anything in the run-up to it. And he's the reigning World Cup champion, but she hadn't qualified him this year, and she didn't. I think she could have competed him as the reigning champion, but chose not to. And then she wasn't allowed to compete her other ride, Utopia, who belongs to Carl Hester, over some dispute about ownership and him leaving the country. So no Charlotte, which paved the way for somebody else to win for a change. So
you know, we're nice. Really counting on you guys for the Olympics again. We're counting on you guys, because if we're not rooting for us here in the United States, somebody here to win it, then we have to root for you guys to win it and take it away from the Germans and the Dutch, because you know, we're just tired of the Germans and Dutch winning all of the dressage for the last 100 years.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive. But then, you know, last year at the Europeans, we said that the Germans were dead cert, that they had an insanely strong team. And even Britain with Charlotte couldn't beat them, because they just had the strength and depth of all their other team members. And in the end, they came third, Britain came second, and it was the Dutch that won. So I do like it how, instead of just being the two dominant teams, there's now three dominant teams, and we're one of them. So that's quite cool.
Yes,
it never happened. It's quite a new, it's quite a novelty still. And
one of these days, the United States will be in there too. One of these
days.
You just keep making us feel better, Victoria.
We're okay, a bunch of cowboys. We're never going to be in there.
And then another World Cup story.
Yes, so Steve
in the
Goddard,
world of jumping.
Who won in Vegas last year, he came up as defending champion. And I must imagine it's pretty hard to win this twice in a row. It's very competitive. But he did. So he is the defending champion.
And who was it again?
Steve Gerdath. He's a Swiss rider. So, yeah, I think he's the Olympic individual champion. So he's pretty good. And he has had back-to-back wins.
Very good. And now you had a story in here, too, that I thought was a chuckle: when horse racing meets garage music.
Yes, I don't.
Not a title you see every day.
I don't know if you guys had much garage music back in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s, but we did, and it was all pretty bad. And but it's this really funny video.
Can we play it?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know how long it is.
I think you're getting an ad.
Yeah, I think we are.
I was like, that's not garage music.
Oh, yeah, let me get through the ad here.
If you scroll on to the actual horse racing footage, you'll hear commentators, if they were garage music guys. It's very funny.
Okay, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the inaugural The Daniel Bedingfields.
We've
got to get through this champion sprint. Let's take a look at the runners and riders. Number one.
Oh, I got to go further, don't I? They're going through every rider.
I gotta get through this.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Runners and riders. Hand you over to our commentator for the day. It's MC Bingo Bass.
Thank you, Mr. DJ. We are live and in the area. The last ones and twos going into the stores at the Daniel Bedingfield. We gotta get through this champion sprint. Ulta! If limit him straight out the boxes, making the running, man's flow is toxic. If limit him no, Mr. DJ, scribble me, let's go on the inside. Oh, turn the crew on the outside. On the ones and twos on the inside. Oh, turn the crew on the outside. On the ones and twos. Do you really like it? Comes off the bridle, getting out paced. Is it wicked? Looking for room with his big white face. Mice, keen at the back. Oh, turn the man's them on the attack. Mice, keen at the back. Oh, turn the man's them comes through the gap. 21 seconds to go. We got 21 seconds to go. Old top of danger for me and you. Old top of danger, so solid crew. I fell on to go. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Moves into the lead. I fell on to go. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And if flip it to me and twice. We come to get down. Rattling home with our rinsing sound. Twice. Here come the fix. All my people, here come the remix.
Entering the closing stages. If flip it to me and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. In front. With the rinsing sound, it's staying on strongly as well. And on the far side, coming home with a withering run is Bass. Bass gets up to score. Bass in front. If flip it to me, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. With a rinsing sound back and forth. But your winner, Bass.
Flippy dippy, man.
I loved it.
I'm quite worried that all your listeners are like, what on earth are they playing?
I didn't watch it either, but it doesn't matter because I like flippy dippy.
You have to watch it when it says he's coming out the middle with his big white face. It's amazing.
Yes.
You
yes.
have to watch the video.
And they put little subtitles over each horse so you can actually understand what he was saying.
It is actually a proper race. It's from the Kingstown Stakes at Royal Ascot in 2014. And the horse that is playing, the one called Bass, is actually a very good horse called Soul Power. So it is quite funny.
Well, that's the kind of quality entertainment you can get on horseandcountry.tv.
Indeed.
You're not going to find that anywhere else. Thank you, Victoria, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, horseandcountry.tv. That was funny. Jennifer's over here typing, please make it stop.
I think it's hilarious.
I had to let it go to the end. I couldn't stop it in the middle. I had to let it go to the end.
You had to finish. I was going to yell at you if you didn't.
It was kind of like rap.
It was kind of, yeah.
A little bit.
Garage music actually, was that where you did sound kind of like that, didn't
it? A tiny bit. Yeah. I was moving there.
It actually sounded like something you'd do in one of your talks.
Exactly. A little bit there. All to the job. A little bit there.
It was good.
Well, what else do we got, Jamie? Anything?
I don't know, but my child just said, I took your chapstick and I draw on the door. Yeah, don't draw on the door with the chapstick.
Well, that's better than the lipstick, I guess. Right?
I draw the chapstick on the door.
Let's call it an early day today. We are going to be back on, well, we have a best of show for you tomorrow. And then Friday, we are going to be back with really bad ads. So get your ads in. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We're pulling the prize winner this week, right, Jennifer?
That's right. The winner of the Horse Grooming Solutions prize pack. Chock-a-block full of Horse Grooming Solutions brand's products worth over $100.
And you can get your entries in. You have 2 days to get your entries in, today and tomorrow. So get them in so you're entered into that. We'll do a drawing. We'll just put into the pile everybody that submitted a really bad ad, and we'll do a drawing, and we'll announce the next prize for next month as well. Don't forget that we are going to Rolex, and we'll be providing you a couple of shows of coverage from Rolex at the end of April. We're excited about that, and we'll be giving you more details as we go along. Thank you to the good people at WeatherBeta for providing that coverage for you. And that's about it for today. Thank you, Diane. Where can people find, if they have parents or if they're in the Medicare age bracket, where do they go to learn more about your show?
They can go to the CareNation.com. That's the website where you can listen to any of the shows, or you can certainly listen on iTunes if you have an Apple phone, or Stitcher. I know someone helped translate, Jamie. Thank you.
Stitcher.
On Android.
Stitcher. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Stitcher. Huh?
You know, if Jamie now goes into her deep Southern accent and you with yours, nobody's going to, and we throw Victoria back in, nobody's going to have any idea what we're talking about today.
I can do any accent you like. I'll be Victoria. Hello. So let's talk about the different stages of the race coming up for the Kentucky Derby.
Do I sound that bad? When
yes,
I do,
you do, actually, Jamie. Yours is that bad.
Okay. Yours is worse.
She actually sounds a little bit more Australian. Yours always sounds just like bad English.
She sounds like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
All right, Jamie, we'll see you again on Friday. Take care, everybody.
Lucas, come here and say goodbye, Glenn.
Bye, Lucas.
Bye, Glenn.
Bye.
Bye, Glenn.
Bye, Lucas. He's getting better at that.
Goodbye, Jen.
Bye, Jen.
Bye, Diane.
Bye, Lucas. Bye.